We last left off our hero, dangling from a cliff, telling Alexa to buy some rope.
That's fantastic. Did you just come up with that?
Yeah, I did.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's that collaborative, creative, yeah, whatever. But no, I'm serious. I'm talking with Nick Myers, and we're continuing our conversation about AI, machine learning, especially when it comes to how these new areas of technology affect marketers. And we talked a little bit about Nick's, I would call it meteoric, reverse meteoric, because it was literally on the ground, now it's going into space, rise when it comes to speaking and guiding and leading when in the AI for marketers space, if you will. You know, you've already bragged about going to Australia. You've already bragged about going to Seattle. You're already bragged about going to Thailand. But that is what amazes me and delights me, because you went from being this general blah, blah, pablum purveyor into very, very specific, and it has served you incredibly well. We talked a little bit about your words, your key three, which again, the words were guide, technology, and empowerment.
Yep.
How else do you view what you do from, hey, I'm a personal brand. I'm not just a guy who's talking. I actually have a plan. Brands have a plan, right?
Right.
What is your personal brand plan moving forward?
Well, I think for me, you know, now that I've kind of have gotten that notoriety, I guess, if you will, because of the work that I've done with my brand about kind of being a thought leader in the AI and voice space for marketers, I guess for me, I really want to start honing in on the educational aspect of things more. So not only do I just want to be known as the guy who knows stuff about it, but I want to be known as the person that a brand or an organization or anybody can go to, and they know that I can help educate and further help guide them to understanding all this technology. Because it's one thing, as I've been doing, to talk about it and give all these strategies, but there still is a huge lack of misinformation floating around.
There's no lack of misinformation. There's a lack of quality information.
Yes, lack of quality information, thank you, on just artificial intelligence in general. And for some reason, the moment that's uttered, people are fascinated by it, but then they automatically assume it's a bad thing because of the way that the media has been portraying it, and this just innate fear of robots coming to tuck their gerbs and a bunch of different things. And my mission is to be able to, you know, of course, you know, help brands leverage the power of these tools and organizations, but also just help everybody understand how AI and voice, these amazing technologies, are ultimately going to impact our lives. And my spin on it is positively. You know, there's going to be negative with everything, and I do talk about the negatives, but more people just need to start seeing the other side and the different ways that it is going to create more efficiency, allow us to accomplish more, discover things that we couldn't even hope to discover because we just haven't had the tools to do so.
Well, AI is like any technology. It can be used for good or bad.
Right.
For example, let's take a very primal technology, fire. Ooh, fire can burn down a house. It can kill everyone in your family. It can slaughter, you know, it can run rampant across the land. Or when harnessed and used appropriately, it can make your food taste better. It can keep you warm in winter. Yeah. Again, it's the trade-off thing. If you're a glass half-empty person, plenty of movies are going to play into that.
Yep.
You know, what was it? What's the one with Oscar Isaac?
Ex Machina.
Yeah, Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
Yeah, Ex Machina. Yeah, you've got the killer AI involved there, or the Spike Jonze's movie Her, which is excellent.
My lighthearted, very lighthearted.
Oh, my spoiler alert, the AI doesn't come and kill everyone.
No.
It finds we're boring and goes someplace else.
Right.
Because why would they kill us? It's like, why would I kill an anthill in my backyard if it's not bothering me?
Correct.
Who knows? But anyway, you're using your interest in AI, machine learning, especially for marketers, to really create a career. And as you just mentioned, it sounds like you're looking at your business the same way I look at mine, which is I've got one leg of my stool is consulting. Mm-hmm. I'll do a consulting contract on branding. Yep. You know, marketing, communication, storytelling, that type of stuff. Then I have a speaking arm where, yes, I want to do more paid speeches, especially in exotic locales like Thailand. But then you've got that third leg, which is actually teaching.
Right.
Which is different than speaking. Speaking's like I show up, I teach you for an hour and I'm gone. Versus I'm going to teach you via something like Nonfiction Brandversity. And I'm going to develop a course series that mm-hmm. some of it's going to be free, but some of it might be paid.
Right.
Are you thinking about that as part of your business?
Yeah. So the main structure that I've kind of pivoted, and my business actually started as Red Fox Creative. I don't know if I ever told you it was a digital marketing agency, but I quickly learned that, okay, one, I'm not as passionate about this as I thought, and two, it's just oversaturated, at least with specifically what I was doing, which was a lot of the Facebook advertising and that type of stuff, Google Ads. So I've now pivoted and I'm rebranding actually to Red Fox AI. So updated logos and a new website and everything. But the core pillars of what I'm trying to do, and I'm always thinking scalability too, is, you know, we have that consulting content strategy aspect, because in the voice and AI space, it's one thing to be like, oh, cool, I want to do it. But if you don't even have a starting point of where to begin, there's no point. And that's a lot of the issues that organizations and brands are facing in this right now, is they know it's important, but they don't even know where to begin. So we fulfill that need by offering that consulting, that content strategy. Here's your roadmap. The second is we do offer development too. So, you know, not putting it on the brand or organization to develop this stuff will help you create something, help do the voice user interface with that and take care of it for you. And then there is the educational aspect. So providing an educational platform to learn, you know, trainings, workshops. I'm hopeful to launch an e-course sometime as well on all this. But I really believe in the power of that educational component. And out of those three, that is probably the most important one to me right now, is developing that educational platform. And then, of course, they're speaking to and everything. But I think that's more for me personally than it is Red Fox AI as a company.
Well, it's going to be a huge source of lead generation,
right,
potentially.
Business development, yeah.
Right, exactly. Someone sees you speak and goes, oh, I want some of that.
Right.
How can we work that? And your answer probably is, well, I've got a package here. I've got an hourly
right
set up, or I've got these classes. By the way, I can travel my classes to your place.
Yeah. Well, you'll love this, actually. So because of a speaking engagement that I did at Social Media Strategy Summit Chicago back in May, I actually have a very large, well, very important client meeting coming up here with Intuit TurboTax. So I'm curious to see what they're interested in when it comes to AI and voice. And I'm really excited to be able to have a discovery meeting with them and figure out what they need. But that stemmed from me, you know, hitting it off with, her name is Lauren Thomas from Intuit. She's a fantastic speaker. She was the keynote there and she came to my presentation, and the rest was kind of history from there. But it's that business development component of the speaking that's absolutely correct. That is going to be a big part of it as well. So,
well, and that speaking happens because you put yourself out there about a specific thing that people wanted to book and get in. And how did they find out about that again? Let's rewind the tape and listen back to the fact that Nick Myers decided to stop doing what I call guru wannabe videos of follow your bliss and you can work 2 hours a week on a boat in the middle of the Caribbean. You stopped doing that type of squishy stuff.
Yes.
And you got dead serious about a highly specific topic, AI, machine learning, natural language processing, especially for marketers.
Yes.
Smart, if you ask me.
And like I said, and a lot of, so the voice space, you know, it's being in it, it seems big, but when you look at all over the world, the people in it, it's actually a very, very small space of people who are starting to specialize in this. And, you know, I've been asked by a lot of these people, how have you gone from zero to 600 so quickly? And I'm like, well, I guess I just, without even realizing it, because of my background in marketing and communications, one, know how to promote myself. And a lot of these people are working on incredible things, but they don't know how to promote themselves. Two, I guess I just kind of wound up in the marketing circuit because I guess subconsciously I was always like, if somebody is going to pull the trigger on this, it's going to be somebody in the marketing department. So if I'm putting myself in front of marketers, marketers are going to be the ones whose curiosity is peaked because that's what we do, and they may pull the trigger on this. So that's just kind of been my method with this, and it just seems to really be working out. And I'm trying to tell all these other people in the space, I'm like, you know, if you really want to do something with this, you got to be strategic with it. Because a lot of these people are developers. They're developers, and very few people in content strategy and development is great. But if what you're working on, nobody knows about or is going to buy, or you're not targeting the people who could buy it, it's just wasted hours.
Also, there's something that is really important that I think you have maybe not in the frontal lobe of your brain figured out, but in the back you did, which is, if you're in marketing services, your job is to relieve pain.
Right.
To serve somebody who's scared that their thing is going to fail.
Yep.
And for all we know, some of the conversations you've had have started with a CEO talking to the director of marketing or someone in the marketing department saying, hey, I saw this TED talk about AI and, oh, what are you doing about that? And their answer is, nothing. Right. Or if they know you, well, actually, I'm talking to Nick Myers. Yeah. He's an expert. We're going to be. And then they get on the phone to you or via text or email, right. Say, Nick, I need your help now. Right. Take this pain out of my head.
Well, that's exactly what we're looking at is happening. So, you know, I think it's going to take one brand to leverage this really, really well and implement it really, really well. And when the ROI and the results start showing in mass is when it's going to kind of be a domino effect. And all these other companies, Mr. CEO is going to wake up one morning, see, you know, their competitor just launched something. He's like, well, why aren't we doing that? And then it's going to be a race to do this as soon as possible. Almost a lot of us in the space are equating this to what the website rush was of the late 90s, early 2000s, and then mobile apps in the mid 2000s. This is going to be the same exact thing. It's just, it's way more highly technologically infused than a lot of these previous things because of the nature of the technology. So we're looking at too, there's going to be a huge supply and demand or a shortage of qualified people who know how to work on this stuff. So that's going to drive demand up. And as we know, what happens with the demand when there's low supply, the price just gets, everything gets inflated. So it's going to be really interesting over the next 1 to 5 years to see kind of how this all plays out.
It's funny that you brought up the kind of Wild West of the early day website things, because I'm old enough to have been working in marketing and advertising pre-internet.
Mm-hmm.
Before Al Gore, I know he didn't invent it, but he did come up with the legislation to commercialize.
Their chief evangelist.
Yeah, well, yeah, he kind of screwed up there with his messaging. But when he and others came up with legislation that enabled ARPANET or, you know, to become commercialized, no one knew what to do with it.
Exactly.
And I remember I was in Chicago at the time hearing about huge brands, McDonald's, hiring a 16-year-old who knew HTML, because one knew what hypertext markup language was back then. And a 16-year-old built McDonald's first website.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, because no one else knew it. So that's where opportunity like that comes to people with an open mind, where the same opportunity is facing anybody like me who's got a little bit more gray in their hair. But we tend not to look at it with the same fresh perspective that younger people have, including yourself, when it comes to AI and machine learning and stuff like that. Again, that's opportunity that's sitting right there in front of both of us, but you're the one who actually grabbed it and ran with it. Right. Well, and there's a reason I didn't grab it, because frankly, I have no interest.
Exactly.
No deep interest in it. And so to be true to myself and to be true to my personal brand, I'm not going to grab a technology that doesn't appeal to me. And well, I guess it's shiny object, so I guess I have to do it. It'd be like me right now, CBD oil, right?
Right. You good, good example.
I mean, you go to TJ Maxx and they're selling CBD oil.
Everyone, yes.
Yeah, just it's
an everything now.
It's a green rush, right? Yeah. Well, if that's not what you're into, you know, why would you do it?
Right.
A good personal brand knows who they are, so they can be it, right?
Yes.
So in my case, again, going back to my words, you know, well, House Stark may have been winter is coming and the Lannisters may always be a Lannister always pays his debts. Well, my words are collaborative, creative, and provocative.
Yep.
And your words are
guiding, technology, and empowerment.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
So if you're listening to this podcast right now and thinking about, I should really get a personal brand. One, you already have one. It Everybody is you.
Yep.
Exactly. But have you figured out your key three words, which can be phrases? And I always use this example when I do presentations. The United States of America is one incredible brand, globally known. If you distill down the United States of America into three phrases, they are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everything, when we're doing it right, hinges off those three core ideas. And when we violate one or two of those three core ideas, that's when stuff hits the fan.
Yep.
You know, and that's where cognitive dissonance enters the equation when it comes to that brand. So What are your key three phrases that describe not only what you do, but who you are and why you care? You know, it's the what you do, how you do it, and why someone should care.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's cool. So what else you got going on? I mean, obviously, you probably have an email at home right now asking you to come to Davos next year.
No, I think for the rest of 2019, that's probably going to be the rest of my major travel, at least. I know I'm going to be presenting at Wisconsin colleges, something on October 1st out in Milwaukee. And then I'm starting to get some stuff lined up for 2020. So it'll be interesting. For me, it just falls on the time to be able to do the research for some of this stuff. I mean, it's great when somebody finds you and reaches out to you, right? But it's another thing to have to apply and get in front of some of these people at conferences. And one other thing I'll say, even though, you know, you and I have been talking about my personal brand, one thing I really need to get better at is I video a lot of my talks and everything, cutting that down into short little pieces of content that can just be repurposed. I am not doing that good enough. I'll openly admit that. But something I do want to start doing, because I mean, it shows your authority. It shows your credibility as somebody who does this, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, and I do the same thing. I've got probably 20 different talks that are sitting in a digital file someplace that I really would love to chop up into tiny things. And on my bad days, I look at it and go, oh, you're not doing enough. But then on my regular days, I go, no, wait a minute. You can't do everything.
Right.
Do fewer things better.
Yes.
My number one thing is making sure that this podcast comes out every Monday. That's not easy to do when you've got some weeks that are wall to wall. So that's the one thing I'm going to make sure I do. The second thing I typically want to do at least once a week is one of the videos that I'll do and post on LinkedIn and Facebook and things like that, that are my walk, talk, brand series, where I'm walking my dogs and talking about whatever's in my brain that day. But even then, I don't do it if I don't have something good to talk about.
Right.
I'm not going to beat myself up because I can't do everything right now.
Well, and that's kind of, I don't know, I mean, and a lot of these people on LinkedIn are still posting good content, but I've always disagreed with the whole, no matter what it is, post it every day. I disagree with that 100%. Why talk about something just for the sake of talking about it? It wastes your time because more than likely people aren't going to be paying attention, and it just makes you sound like a broken record. And that's why, you know, when you asked me in the last episode about what my posting schedule is, I try to keep it more varied now than ever with different content pieces, because I don't want to piss people off. I don't want to inundate their feed with me just rambling about something that isn't strategic or is going to help them. So I also agree with you. I don't believe, unless you have something pointed and strategic to say that's going to help your brand or help offer value to somebody else, don't do it.
Well, exactly. We're recording this on a Friday, which means I would have gotten this done for Monday, except I already recorded earlier this week Andy Crestedina of Orbit Media in Chicago.
Nice.
Yeah.
Andy's great.
Whoa, what a great conversation we had. So I'm going to air that on this Monday. But I point to Andy and say, that guy, he never serves up anything that's partially baked.
No, never.
It is always buttoned down and tasty when it comes to new ideas, valuable information, actionable ideas that you can take and put into play right away. That's why he's valuable to me.
Right.
And during our conversation, which you can go back a couple of episodes and listen to, he talks about the fact that he is very careful about that. He comes out with a new blog post every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Out there, if you're listening to this, can you do that schedule? One meaningful blog post with some type of meat involved with it every 14 days. Is that a place where you can start? Maybe that's not the place you want to start. When people ask me, what's the best way to get started? I'll say, follow your LinkedIn feed. Find the people that you like and appreciate the most for what they're doing and how they're doing it. Follow them and link to their posts saying, great idea. Make sure their name's in there, their at tag.
Yeah.
And then add to it like, great idea, at Nick.
Yep.
I've always wondered how I could use this for my business, period. Do you have any recommendations of places I could go to get more information? If you saw that comment in your post, would you ignore it?
No.
You would immediately engage.
Yes.
And guess what I just did for you? I'm a caddy teeing up your golf ball, perfect height, so you can crush that thing.
Yes.
I have literally set you up for a fantastic follow-on post or comment within that post, which makes that post more valuable. Consequently, LinkedIn's going to share it more widely.
And other people see that.
Right. And because Nick Myers saw me tee up that golf ball, I did it once. Hey, that guy's a nice guy. A couple weeks later, do it again. You crush that ball and go, wow, he's a pretty good caddy. By the third time I do that, you're like, dude, we need to connect.
Absolutely.
Because, and again, this is not a gratuitous strategy. It's a gratitude strategy. It's yes. not gratuitous. It's gratitude. I'm giving back to you in the form of thank you very much, setting you up to answer the question. And consequently, a relationship happens.
Right.
You know, one of the things I always say is, especially about taking selfies, which I call unselfish selfies, don't ever feel like you're self-aggrandizing yourself if you're making someone else look better.
Exactly.
You make them look great, you look good.
Absolutely. No, and that's also too one of my things I do is anybody who gives to me, I do my best in any way, shape, or form to give back to them as much as I can. And of course, a lot of these people that I've gotten to know and work with, I mean, they're light years ahead of me in a lot of the stuff they've done. And you know, it's how do you provide to somebody who seems like they have everything? But I've learned it's simple things like sharing their also sharing their content on social media, promoting a talk they have coming up, promoting their organization. Or like my friend Marae in Australia, who's bringing me out there for the Social Media Marketing Summit, I joined her organization and I've been talking about it with people. And, you know, it doesn't need to be something extravagant, but people appreciate anything you can do to help give back as well. And, you know, I go by the philosophy, give, and then take.
Yeah, it's the Gary V thing. Jab, 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 right hook. You don't ask until you've given so much.
Exactly.
And by the way, if you give enough, they're going to come back and give to you before you ask.
Right.
And that's something you can do right now. So again, I'm talking with Nick Myers, who is this young punk, 24-year-old kid, you know, who's less than half my age, who's teaching me one heck of a lot. And I really love that because we met when you were helping out, you were volunteering for Disrupt Madison or Disrupt HR, whatever they're calling it. And you were helping me find the stage when I was going to be on stage. And then I think we met the next day and I didn't recognize you because you were in the dark and I didn't see your red hair. And anyway, we've since become friends. And frankly, he's become fodder for my presentations because it's really rare that you can point to someone within your universe who is doing exactly what you talk about perfectly. One, get away from gratuitous, meaningless videos.
Yep.
Focus, add value, get in front of people, follow up, build relationship, take advantage of opportunities as they are presented to you. And by the way, make your own opportunities.
Right.
Not the least of which would be Disrupt. Well, you volunteered last year.
Exactly. And I spoke at Milwaukee and hosted this year. So
boom. So there you go. A volunteer last year is now on stage this year.
But one important piece, too, that I've also learned is you don't get what you don't ask for.
Oh, my God. You aren't kidding.
Yes, there's, you know, I get that question a lot, too. Well, don't you feel uncomfortable asking for things? And I'm like, well, I don't know if I wouldn't ask for it. You know, either I'll get told no or I'll get told yes. And if I get told no, well, sucks. But I guess there's something else waiting in the wings anyhow.
But the cool thing is the person who said no to you, you can take off your list as someone to interface with.
Correct.
Because if they are not a giver, you don't need them. Again, so much of social media is all these nibbles from little fishes. And you don't know if that little fish could be a big fish in your life.
Right.
But you can tell that the ones that aren't giving back, you don't need to worry about anymore. No. You know, I remember reading a blog post about a guy who's like, every time he gets an unsubscribe for his email list, he's happy because that's one less person he has to worry about.
Exactly.
Because he only wants to worry about the people who values who he is, what he does, and how he does it. Boom. That's your personal brand. Who are you? What do you do? And how do you do it? That is the definition, if you're asking me, of a personal brand. And for those of you following the D.P. Knewton drinking game, know who you are so you can be it. Drink. Well, this has been a really delightful conversation with Nick Myers of Red Fox AI.
Yes.
Tell us quickly about that just one more time.
Yeah. So I guess if my quote unquote elevator pitch is Red Fox AI, we help give brands a voice to the power of AI and voice assistant technology. So again, we do this from more of a marketing standpoint, but we'll work with any brand at this point to help develop a roadmap for them on what pain point can be solved leveraging and deploying artificial intelligence, specifically voice assistant technology, whether that be through a custom skill, whether that be through searchability, whether that be through content or education, to help you really connect with people through this technology in ways we really haven't had the chance to before.
And you've got a new podcast. What's that?
I do. So back in May, I started the Artificial Podcast. So again, my whole goal with that, I never went into that with a selfish intent. My intent for that was I want to help everybody understand how AI and voice is going to impact us both personally and within organizations. So I've been publishing, and when you said I have a deadline to get an episode out every week, that is my exact same thing. I put it out every Sunday and I make sure that gets done. But every week I have a new episode that either features somebody from the AI or voice space, and we have a really interesting discussion about what they're working on or some things that you can do to start leveraging it in your organization right away. Likewise, they also do some solo episodes and just dive into various topics about AI and voice to help everybody understand it better. Because again, there's that misinformation thing that I'm trying to get solved right now. So,
well, the reality is AI is coming.
Correct.
The question is, are you going to be afraid of it the same way that caveman is, lightning, strike tree, fire, fire bad? Or are you going to harness it for your career and move it forward in some meaningful way? And by the way, if you're in marketing and you haven't explored it at all, a great place to get your ears wet, if you will, is Nick's podcast. Again, Artificial Podcast.
Yep, the Artificial Podcast. I'm on all the platforms. So
just search Nick Myers, the Artificial Podcast, or just the Artificial Podcast, and you'll find it. Check it out. Very valuable information right there. Once again, I'm DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast and Nonfiction Brandversity, the free Facebook group that I'd love for you to join. Just ask to join and you are in, guaranteed. And he is
Nick Myers
of Red Fox AI. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.